grass, ganja, joint, doobie, doo, chronic, ace, lobo, loco, love boat, bud, buddha, blunt, pot, pat, pin, chiba, chiba, 420, and hashish, or hash for short. It's all marijuana.
This is Marijuana Media.
Come in.
Brought to you by The Hemp Store at 253 K Road or shop online at hempstore.co.nz.
Do it, man.
Dackity do da day. And we're right back where we started for another run at the title.
It feels like that, doesn't it?
I can't remember when we started this, but I'm pretty sure there wasn't anything really on the horizon when we started it. So
it's a Groundhog Day. So yeah, it's just Ganja Groundhog Day.
Nothing changes for us, man.
Do you think the government is going to jump into action? Are they going to do anything on this? Because it's so close. Surely they've got a mandate to do something at the very least.
Right. No, I think you're exactly right. Just as there was a... What's going on there, fellas?
We
got it?
Yeah.
Loose connection?
Yeah.
No, totally. And but the thing that we've all just got to kind of accept, you know, there was a referendum. We just came up short. It's heartbreaking.
Mm-hmm.
But it is what it is. You know, that's the result. There's not going to be a recount. We're not going to trumpet and try and sort of say, no, we didn't lose, you know what I mean? And let's not use the word lose. We started, in fact, this bill was decided the decision was made to go for a referendum with a full legalisation bill when legalisation was only supported by 30% of the people.
Mm.
So to get to, you know, 49% is pretty good,
mm.
you know, and a whole bunch of the NOPAs, you know, wanting a kind of lesser thing. So there's definitely a mandate to change, a mandate for something, but that bill is dead, so it's not going to be that one.
Yep.
And, or not right now, who knows, might get resurrected or some form of it. But what we do know is the government is very keen and said on a number of occasions, Prime Minister and Andrew Little and so forth, they want to revisit this decrim they tried to do last year,
mm-hmm.
that gave the discretion to the police. And of course, that turned out that giving the discretion to the police is part of the problem.
Mm.
And you actually need to tell them, no, you don't have discretion. You actually need to walk on by and leave people alone, mm. you know, rather than giving them discretion, because that gave them discretion to still be, you know, a bit racist.
Mm-hmm.
And whether that was intentional or not, the effect is still there. And the only way you're going to solve that is actually by saying, and I stop doing that. So, you know, I think we'll see some good action there, and that could be a priority. And I think we might have mentioned this last week with the pill testing, and they've repeated that. That was good. So that was another good thing that we heard in the media there, that they're very keen to get something through, hopefully this summer, and because, of course, the need is there. That very same clause, that one sentence, Section 12 in the Misuse of Drugs Act that gets in the way of pill testing, it also gets in the way of you know, private clubs or cafes tolerating a bit of discreet smoking out the back,
mm.
and it's that very same line. It's very heavy, and it was really put in there for opium dens way back in the day, and it's a bit over the top, and that freaks people out, gets people a bit antsy, a bit more than they do in other countries. Perhaps,
let's just, you know, take it back a bit.
Okay.
Tell me more about these opium dens, please.
Just around from where the police station is right now, or where it was, the old-fashioned watchtower cop shop in the
right.
central city there, that whole little district there,
really?
Up Queen Street,
wow.
that was Opium Den Central.
Wow.
Yeah, right up till about the 60s, you know, when they kind of demolished
and where
all
they,
that.
And whereabouts did they move to, roughly?
Around where you live.
Fuck. Oh, man. That escalated.
Now, Chris, you've sent us some news articles.
Some homework.
The spin-off of Unpacked, the online ad spends for both the euthanasia and the cannabis campaigns from both sides. Turns out that the vote yes side for cannabis law reform spent a bit more than the NOPAs.
Yeah, that's right. Well, that's certainly what we know about, and what officially goes through each person's account. There's a Facebook tool where you can look up what people have spent, and so officially through Family First and the Say Nope and that. Maybe it was only counting the Say Nope, I'm not sure. But what they really showed, they mentioned that in the article, and it was the same with the euthanasia one. It was the side that was really struggling and up against it was outspending. And so for the euthanasia, that was the moralizers encouraging no, and for the cannabis referendum, it was the opposite.
Mm. Do you think that the TV spends were comparable? between the No and the Yes campaigns?
I didn't see any. I didn't watch any TV around that time.
Yeah, same here. But the reports I was getting from people was they were seeing a lot of ads for the Nopers and a lot of newspaper ads and things like that. So, you know, we've said it before and, you know, I'll say it again. It would be very good to have an independent audit of all that kind of thing in the wash-up and the aftermath. But also, as I say, we can't kind of, you know, hang on a kind of, oh, they cheated us or something. It's like, you know, well, okay, that's the cards we're dealt and we've got to move on now. And this is what we've got. We've still got a really progressive government. And so, yeah, there's that pill testing I was talking about before, that, which might open the door perhaps to something a little wider, a little bit more tolerant in our society, that in our day-to-day living, and that would actually have quite a big impact. And also properly sorting out decrim so the police really know that their role in it and so forth. And the third big opportunity we've got, and this has been repeated in the media this week with the Medcan conference that was here in Auckland, and there were some companies there and patient groups and things saying, well the current scheme is pretty tight, and it's unlikely that New Zealand products are actually going to come in potentially, you know, any cheaper than what's already available.
Almost makes it elitist in a sense, eh, the whole thing.
Well, it is an equity issue because it restricts access to people who can afford it. So it means that anyone can go to their doctor and get a prescription, but the only people that can fulfill it legally and be protected legally are people who can afford that and you know, who are middle class and above. And if you can't, well, you might get your prescription, but too bad, you don't get the legal protection, you don't get safety protection. So therefore, it's actually an equity issue, is this pricing. And that's why for other medicines, Pharmac subsidise them so that issue is removed. And everyone has equal, equitable access, and we don't have that with cannabis.
Oh, fuck, okay.
Yeah. So that's a bit of a problem there.
How do they fix that?
Well,
we don't want to get PharmCann involved.
They're very hands off with PharmAc, right? Unless there's a big campaign around it, unless it's really going to save people's lives and things, and you have a bit of a campaign, and you know, we've seen them intervene with other drugs before, but that's you know, could take a while. But one of the best things to do, so if they want to maintain their hands off with PharmAc and not direct them, one of the best things they can do is revisit the product standards.
Okay.
And they've said this. So the Ministry of Health said this in their presentation at the Medcan conference, and Andrew Little has reiterated. He's the new Minister of Health, of course, and so he was Minister of Justice overseeing the referendum, and now. Drug policy issue or cannabis has actually followed him to his new role as Minister of Health, which is kind of quite cool in a way. But anyway, so they're going to revisit the standards. And the big problem is that the standards are set so tough. That's what makes the products expensive or too, you know, really difficult for local companies to develop.
For an analog product, like a plant.
Exactly.
You know?
It's just so much easier for people to jump on Instagram and find a green fairy and get something that way. And I mean, Grant, I'm sure there probably are some good products out there, but it's so difficult to gauge the consistency. You know, it's sort of so variable. But I mean, with the price being so prohibitive, A, to get a consultation, and then B, to get product, I mean, people do turn to the internet to find these things.
Well, there's a lot of you know, people think that if it comes from hemp then it's legal, and honestly, you know, I'd love that to be the case, and I really do, and I sympathize with that interpretation, and perhaps it's correct. The Ministry of Health take the opposite interpretation, though, that any presence of CBD makes it a prescription medicine no matter where it came from. And same with other if it's got any other cannabinoids, you know, then you're in controlled drug territory. So there's a bit of misunderstanding, but some of the products out there, they're great, and we certainly hear a lot from patients who are getting really good effects and things and benefits, and a lot of green fairies that are making really amazing products, but they often don't have access to testing facilities to really verify it. And we really wish, you know, that was the case, that they could get access. So that'd be a good, if they're going to legalize pill testing, legalize green fairy testing too, you know, and let everyone be able to send samples in and not have any kind of, you know, legal comeback to that. And maybe that's just part of the decrim thing, that might capture that too, and go, well, if you're allowed to have it, then you're not committing a crime by getting it tested, perhaps.
Chris, did you head along to the medicinal cannabis conference?
No, I didn't actually, no.
Do you know much about the outcomes and the general sort of feel for the industry? People were, you know, sort of their thoughts on it, what they...
There was a report, but the industry is pretty wide, and a lot of people that are wanting to get involved in medical cannabis were really had an eye on the adult side, and there's nothing wrong with that, and I think there's more opportunities there, and the adult side would just like us, what we've been saying, it's its production to a different standard, to a kind of to a food grade. So still perfectly safe, but not having to go through all the extra pharmaceutical stuff. And that's where I think your market is bigger and more opportunities for more people to be involved. So there's probably a bit of disappointment among some people. There's probably some of the medical companies that are thinking, haha, this helps us by you know, keeping our market or whatever. But I don't think many of them think like that. So, you know, it's...
You hear any rumours about people that are, like, were all in on the thing passing and kind of, you know, I bought like a factory somewhere and, you know, that kind of thing, and they were ready to roll out DAC.
I think, I mean, aside from myself with Zecan, I mean, all we really did was really advocate for it and put our, you know, meagre kind of support. But Helios was, you know, paying for the polls, and I think we're pretty... pretty into that and good on them.
They were generally
disappointed,
but by and large,
you know,
no
one actually donated to, you know, to, certainly not to Normal, and you know, we didn't have any kind of corporate sponsors from here or from overseas, so they were the part of the problem, I guess.
Right on.
Anything else you want to cover off, Chris?
What else did we have?
I know there's
David Seymour talking today. David Seymour saying tactical error. Of course, easy to say in hindsight. And yep, I mean, we wouldn't have put it to referendum either. And especially something that at the time you're going, yeah, let's referendum this, that it's only on 30% in the polls. You know, you wouldn't normally do that. You'd put something forward that you know was totally going to pass. And in hindsight, yeah, more of a decrim model.
So he voted to say that in hindsight, right? He voted to legalise.
So yeah, and didn't do anything to campaign for it, and, you know, told me, oh, it's a vote loser, I'm not going to do anything about it, and blah, blah, blah. So,
We've got a good section of ACT MPs in Parliament. The leader voted yes. We've got the Greens
that dude
in Parliament.
Is a plank,
we've got
though,
Labour
right?
Like, in Parliament. Surely.
Surely.
That, I mean, Parliament is stacked in favour of reform.
That's right. Yep. So let's see ACT take some leadership on this now, eh? And, you know, put the money where the mouth is, sort of thing. And in our roundabout way, we're circling back there to the medical cannabis and the changes that we could expect there. Andrew Little did say all options on the table, and crucially did say, for all fans of Yes Minister, did say he hasn't been briefed by the ministry yet. So that is awesome. So capture by officials is a thing, and certainly if we're looking at revisions or changes to the scheme, then. Coming from officialdom is not necessarily going to get you the best ideas.
Do you feel like we could see a North American model kind of rolling out where we see a lot more, I don't know, medicinal shops in the sort of future?
Probably not, because that might come a bit close to the referendum, but what you could easily do, like pharmacy is the retail of the medical scheme, and pharmacy is also where you know, you just walk in the door and you buy some things, or you might have a prescription and get some things, so it's a bit of a mixed thing, so it's kind of perfectly suited. And in fact, Shane Retty, the new deputy leader of the National Party, and congratulations Shane Retty on that, he has a live bill right now in Parliament. It was a private member's bill that he put in back when the medical scheme was going through as a bit of a challenge to the government, and it is more based on the American approach, and that was actually just drawn a few months ago, just by in the lead up to the election, and most people didn't notice it,
right.
and the government could actually, you know, because they control the agenda of Parliament, they could just let it bubble to the top and actually let it go forward, and then National would kind of probably have to vote for it, right? And this is actually pretty cool. You could easily integrate it with the current scheme, but what it does is you would go to your doctor. This is under a National Party bill, right? The Shane Reddy bill. You go to your doctor gives you a card like they do in California and places like that, and you take that card and you go down to the pharmacy and you get whatever the hell you want, and so it's just authorizing you as a patient to go sort yourself out, right? And instead of this model we've got now where the doctor has to be comfortable about every kind of product they're prescribing, and then they get all worked up into a frenzy about it, and this I think would really actually open up access.
Okay, nice.
So that's an easy thing they could do.
Hashtag Hotbox the Beehive.
Let's smoke them out.
Yesterday was Armistice Day, and you know, and not to be kind of, you know, glib about it or whatever, but we were really hoping that would be the armistice of the war on cannabis users too. But not to be for another year, but hopefully, right?
Right on.
Year.
Yeah, man. Thank you, Chris. We've got a lovely text here, basically saying you're the man.
Oh, cheer.
Do it, man.
That was Marijuana Media.
Thanks to The Hemp Store. Visit them at 253 K Road or shop online at hempstore.co.nz.